Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Dissecting Quran Finale Show. Meaning it's the last show that we're going to do under the Dissecting the Quran. Because how many times can you dissect that darn book? This will probably only take about an hour and a half. I do have another show that I'm going to do live. I'm going to go over my interaction with Nadir Ahmed, where he booted me out of the live stream because he couldn't answer my questions. But I have a new surprise. This is going to be our finale, intro, extra, whatever you want to call it. It's something different. So before we get started with our final brain cell loss series, let's hit it.
It's beautiful.
Well, I figured we'd go out with a bang. All right. Let's put back on here. Let me remove that. Remove from studio. We have Brother Paul, hoping Brother Osama can make it. If not,
he's not going to be able to make it.
Him. Okay. Well, his spirit is here, I'm sure. But we do have Sister Darcy, and if anybody else wants to come on, I know that Larry has to work, unfortunately. Jabril is squeezing him too hard, so he has to be at work. So with that note, let's start and finish this bad boy. All right, so we finished off on chapter 100, last show. So today is Chapter 101, The Calamity. Oh, we got Sam. Hey, Sam. Glad you could stay awake to join us.
Yeah, I promised you to be here.
Hey, I'm going to do another one after this. I'm going to do a review.
I was waiting for him to start that live stream, and I, like on YouTube, I couldn't find it. It was like just a no-show.
Yeah, well, it was supposed to be at 11 a.m. He didn't show up, I think, until 3 o'clock. And I just so happened to find it by accident because I got tired of waiting. So, yeah, so we're finishing up. And, I mean, this is a huge chapter, Paul. I don't know, man. You think we could do this in 5 minutes?
Oh, I think we might do under, unfortunately. The truth, I say unfortunately, it's because what we read in general from the Quran has no weight. And there's no value, unfortunately, right, in most of what we're reading.
Okay, so chapter 101, so that means there's only 14 chapters left, is the chapter of the calamity. Now, reading this chapter's title, I would think, man, something really bad is going to happen. So let's see. The first verse starts off with the calamity. What is the calamity? Okay, good question. What is it? Let's see if we have an answer. And you do not know what the calamity is. You're right, I don't know. A day people will be like scattered moths and the mountains will be like loosened wool. Okay, so he's explaining the calamity. So for him whose balances are heavy, all that means, so he will be in a pleasant life. Now, if your balances are heavy, you will be in a pleasant life. Okay. And as for him whose balances are light, so his mother will be in Hiawa. That doesn't sound like a good place. And what do you know what it is? It is a raging fire. Okay, so let me get this straight. If your balance is light, Your mother is going to be in hell. Can somebody explain to me, what does my poor mother have to do with me being light on the scale?
Well, let's go back. Let's go back to verse 4. A day people be scattered like moths. Okay, so you're scattered. All right, and the mountains will be like loosened wool. For a lot of people, it doesn't make any sense. Loosened wool is, you know, something that's normally tightly put together, and it's stringy. Okay, so for him whose balances are heavy, this is really disjointed thought. This is the problem with it. It's not describing a calamity. It's not stating there's a calamity. What the calamity is, it's just saying, you know, you won't be united. You're going to be spread apart. That's all it's saying. So for him whose balances are heavy, so he will be in a pleasant life. Does that sound? Wait, if your balances are heavy, you'll have a pleasant life. What do we even? Okay, we just said there's a calamity coming. Now you're talking about a pleasant life. What? What's the calamity?
That's a good question. Now, anybody picking up this book and reading this particular chapter, and they come into verse 6. So for him whose balances are heavy, so he will be in a pleasant life. Now, we know that the person is going to enjoy that life because his balances are heavy. But my question is, what the hell are we talking about here?
Well, that's part of the issue. I mean, what do you have to do to make, I mean, if we have to work, if you have to do good deeds,
right?
We don't know if it's good deed or good deeds according to the Quran, because it's inconsistent in the use of singular and plural there. That's one of the discoveries we've come up with.
And then it gets even worse because in verse 8, it says, for the person whose balances are light, his mother is going to be in hell.
You know, his mother will be the Hawaii, whatever that means. Hell.
Yeah, I looked it up. So it means to fall. And the hell is called so because disbelievers and criminals fall into it. Yeah.
So his mother is going to be the hell or the hellfire, because according to verse 10, and what do you know what it is? It is a raging fire. So his
doesn't make any sense.
So mother is going to be a raging fire? Okay.
And how is that hell? I mean, it's just a physical person becomes,
I guess the hellfire will be his second mother and not his first mother.
Again, this is an example of incoherence. Maybe somebody being hit in the head too many times. I mean, I keep talking about Allah having TBI because of incoherence. This is disjointed speech. It's not fluid. There's a lot of problems with this. It's an example of, again, something that should never be put into print. I mean, no publisher would accept this.
Yeah, so that finishes for us 101. Let's go to 102. Chapter 102 is called The Proliferation. I don't think Allah knows what proliferation means.
Okay, do you have a definition for that so we can?
Let me go up here. I don't want to give you my definition.
Allah doesn't know a lot of words, is what we're learning. He didn't seem to understand what a calamity was, is what we just discovered. So your mother's going to turn into hell fire. You're going to be spread apart.
You know, not jointed. When we're reading,
that's not a calamity.
When we're reading all of these verses about hellfire and all that, I look at the picture of every chapter, and I suppose it's supposed to be a looking glass, right? Magnifying glass. It looks like a frying pan. Quran in a frying pan.
Well, I think if you read the Quran and you read it honestly and you ask questions about what you're reading, you come to the conclusion that it was written by a guy who didn't know Arabic very well. You come to the conclusion that if Allah is the person they claim in here, that Allah has TBI. He's been hit in the head one too many times. Or the author has been hit in the head one too many times. And those are horrible, horrible things to say. But again, if you read it honestly and you see those things, you have to ask those questions.
Okay, we have a whole bunch of different meanings for the word proliferation.
Why don't you pick the first one? I think it's the same.
Okay, so let's see. Yeah, that's the first one. Okay. Okay.
You go ahead, right up there. Here we go.
Okay, in zoology, which means dealing with, you know, animals, the origination and development of generative zygotes, as in the formation of Medusa. Okay, that's a little bit too...
Okay, rapid and repeated production of new parts of offspring.
Yeah.
Okay.
So basically, if something is proliferating, it's growing, it's amassing.
Yes.
You know, kind of like Islam, and it's, you know, having four babies or having four wives, and each wife has God knows how many babies because they're 9 years old when they start having babies. That's what it means. So let's see. All right, let me get that out of there. Let me bring you back up. That's a stream. Okay. So let's see what the Quran says. The proliferation distracted you until you visit the grave. Okay. Certainly not. You will know. Okay, what am I going to know? Then certainly not. You will know. Okay. Certainly not. If you knew with the sure knowledge, you will see the hell. Okay.
What knowledge are they talking about? We've got the only thing that's made, it's apparently he doesn't know what proliferation is because he's talking about going to the grave.
Yeah, you won't see it.
Until you die.
Right. Proliferation is going to distract you. What does that mean? You're going to be having too much sex, having babies until you visit the grave? And then what's this certainly not, you will know? Then certainly not, you will know. Allah is just repeating himself, and all he did was just put the word then in front of certainly, because it's the same thing that he just repeated.
Five, it's going to be the same thing pretty much.
Certainly not, okay. If you knew with the sure knowledge, knew what? You will see hell, okay.
Well, again, he's not, again, this is where I get into con man language. If Allah knew what he was talking about, don't you think he would tell us? That's why I think he's probably been hitting the head one too many times. This is why I say TBI. He's not clear. He's not coherent. But if he's trying to be a con man, he allows anybody to interpret things any way they want.
I think the only thing that's certain is that Allah is not certain about anything.
He's the God of perhaps.
Yeah. And then verse 7, then you will see it with a sure eye. Okay.
See what?
I don't know. That's just it.
Wait. I got it. It says verse six. It says you will see hell. Then you will see it with a sure eye. So you're going to see hell. Then you're going to see it with a sure eye. What? You're going to see it twice?
Yeah. And in verse 8, after you see whatever it is you're going to see with that sure eye, then verse 8 says, then surely you will be asked on that day, which we don't know what that day is, about the bliss.
Wait, bliss is something happy.
Yeah.
So Allah thinks you're happy, you're being tortured. That's a sick mind. Hell is a place you get tortured, and Allah thinks that's happiness. That's a pretty sick mind.
I am telling you. I mean, this is just hilarious. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the proliferation surah. And Allah wants us to make a chapter like this. I mean, seriously, Allah. Come on, Muslims.
I think I could beat that with my hands tied behind my back.
Or using half of your brain.
I could type with my nose and do better.
I don't think Allah could debate his way out of a wet paper bag. Okay, so chapter 103, the afternoon. Afternoon delights. Okay, here we go again. I swear by the afternoon.
And then that's just Usama being kind because it only says by the afternoon.
Surely the human is in a lost state, okay? But except for those who believed and did good deeds and exhorted with the truth and exhorted with patience. Yeah, I mean, this
is... Wait, does that mean anything to anyone because...
No.
Because it didn't convey even a complete thought.
No.
Three verses.
I mean, those three verses are absolutely nothing.
When Muslims tell me that they read the Quran, they have read the Quran, I actually think this is the chapter they're referring to. Like, this is the most generic thing, you know, somebody can say, and this is usually what's repeated by Muslims. Oh, you should do good deeds and, you know, come to the truth. That's all they have. Like they opened this and they saw this and they're like, yeah.
Okay, so now the question is, you got to ask them, how do you know what's good deeds? I mean, in verse in chapter 103, it says good deeds, plural. In other chapters, it says good deeds, singular. Yeah. Hmm.
Well, I mean, Allah keeps going from, he created the heavens and then he talks about the heaven, like if there's only one. How do we know which one? If there's seven heavens, you would think that Allah would be nice enough to tell us, is he talking about the first heaven? Is he talking about the second heaven? Is he talking about the sixth heaven? We don't know. You know, Allah is supposed to be one according to the Muslims. He is the creator, as somebody was saying in somebody else's channel. Nadir was talking to this other Christian that I have no clue what they were talking about. But he kept saying that Allah is the creator because the Quran says Allah is the creator. But the Quran says Allah is the best of creators. Allah is the best of the spreaders. Allah is the best. All of these are plural, which in Arabic is three or more. So Allah is comparing himself to at least three other creators or spreaders or expanders.
Or deceivers.
Or inheritors, yes, or deceivers.
And we still got to ask that question. What is Allah inheriting? If he's God, who's greater than him that he's inheriting from?
Right. I mean, the concept of inheriting is, let's say, for instance, my parents pass away. They give me or they leave me the house. I inherited the house. It was not mine. Now, granted, I didn't inherit any house. Somebody else did, but it wasn't me. But in order for me to inherit something, somebody else has to be in possession of it. If Allah is the creator, that means everything is already his to begin with because he created it. He doesn't need to inherit it whenever he wants it.
Technically, you can't inherit
something that's yours.
I mean, that's what it comes down to. I mean, you don't. If you are God, you're not the one to inherit. You are the one to bequeath,
right?
Which is what happens. You can bequeath something while you're still alive.
Yes.
In general, somebody has to die for you to inherit.
Right. I mean, you could do a living will so that, you know, but that's for tax purposes. That has nothing to do with the Holy Quran. Okay, so the chapter of the afternoon was, let's just say it was a waste of the afternoon. Okay, so now we go to chapter 104. The backbiter. Now, usually backbiters, I would say that they're gossipers, you know, or they stab you in the back, they slandered you, you know, they libel you and all that good stuff. So let's see what Allah says about the backbiter.
I wonder if Allah knows what that means.
I don't know. Woe to the backbiter and the slanderer.
Are those two separate things?
I guess they are. It probably sounds real nice in Arabic. The one who gathers money and counts it. So what? Is he saying that the slanderer is the one who backbites?
Or are these three different people? You got a backbiter, you got a slanderer, and now you have somebody who's gathering money and counts it.
So the backbiter and a slanderer, we could say that they're one and the same.
Well,
or they could be two separate.
Well, the word and is there, but I don't think Allah understands logic. That could make the whole thing.
Okay, so the one who gathers the money and counts
it's kind of hard to tell because Allah doesn't like logic.
He thinks that his money will make
him. So if you're an accountant. So wait a minute. If a person counts his money, does that make him sinful? I mean, I count my money to make sure I've got enough to make payments.
Hey, I have a budget that I know to the penny where my money goes. Would that make me a backbiter and a slanderer? Now, number three says that the person who counts his money or gathers money and counts it, obviously you got to gather it so you can count it, he thinks that his money will make him immortal. I'm sorry. Never in a million years has the thought crossed my mind that if I count my money, I'm immortal. I can't even take it with me. I mean, Bill Gates, with all his billions, is going to go to the same place that I am now. It might be a nicer grave, maybe a mausoleum, but he ain't taking anything with him. Okay? It's all going to be left behind. And then four, certainly not. Surely he will be thrown into the Hagtuma. I don't know what that means because there's no, obviously, nobody seems to know what that word is. I'm guessing it's another name for fire if you're going to be thrown into it.
So according to Jolene, it's something which crushes everything that is thrown into it.
Well, according to the Quran, verse 5 says, and what do you know what the Hatuma is? Allah or somebody says, it is the kindled fire of Allah, which rises above the heart. Okay.
So wait a minute. We got another problem here. Okay, so you've got, okay, you get thrown into the fire if you count your money, if you're a slanderer, if you're a backbiter. Wait a minute, so slander and backbiters, if we're talking about all slanderers and backbiters, if you are a follower of Islam and you're required to lie and deceive others, that can make you a backbiter. It can forcefully make you, that's what a backbiter is, somebody who lies as well and creates slander, again, required by Sharia. If you are talking about infidels, if you're talking to infidels, you are slandering them. You are doing these things as part of the second level of jihad, word jihad. So according to this, all those Muslims who take part in civilization jihad, doing the second level of jihad, are going to hell. Yeah. Right. And I still don't get why accountants go to, because they count their money or you're a good steward of your money, you're going to hell. I don't get that part.
Because I count money. Okay, so according to the Quran, Hatuma is the kindled fire of Allah. So it's the fire of Allah. It supposedly rises above the hearts, which I guess it's it depends on how tall you are and where your heart is. For me, it would be, I guess, I don't know, 4.5 feet. So the fire is going to raise up to my hearts, or actually I should say above. Surely it is closed on them. I don't know what that means. And stretched out in columns. I don't know what that means. So again, as we see, the end of the Quran is just as confusing, disjointed, and incoherent at the beginning of the Quran. And that finishes chapter of the backbiter. What's the next one?
We have an elephant in the room.
The elephant. Oh, yes. Okay. The amazing birds wage war with rocks. Man, these must have been pterodactyls, I got to tell you. Okay. Again, he asks the question that nobody can answer because nobody was there. Have you not seen what your Lord did with the companions of the elephants? Only one elephant.
How could we see that? I mean, we don't even know who he's talking about.
I don't know. I wasn't there in 570 AD. I did not see the companions of the elephants.
Okay, what your Lord? Who are we talking about? I mean, we don't know who this Lord is.
Well, apparently Allah is the Lord of everybody, whether you like it or not.
The companions of elephant. Are we talking about Persians? Are we talking about Africans? What are we talking about?
Well, the story really knows that this is the king of Yemen, a Christian king from Yemen, who is taking, a Muslim.
So he didn't do anything to them because they got blessed.
Yeah. Well, what happened was, see, Erbar or Ahbar, whatever his name is, he had this really big church, and some Muslims or a Muslim went in and defiled it. I think he took a crap in it or a piss.
Okay, that means this had to be, this part of the Quran had to be written a couple hundred years after the death of Muhammad.
Why would you say that?
Because Yemen wasn't taken.
Okay, but this is not talking about Yemen being taken.
Well,
This is the king of Yemen in 570 AD, supposedly. Mm-hmm. Supposedly gathered his army to attack Mecca because a Muslim defiled the...
Oh, well, the idea of taking built. Mecca is fantasia all by itself.
Right.
Yeah.
But notice it's the companions of the elephant. So I guess this king only had one elephant in all the areas. So, okay, so the companion, okay, have you not seen what your Lord did to the companions of the filth? Again, it's an impossibility to ask this question to people in the now, because we have no clue what happened. I wasn't there.
We couldn't have seen it. It's like, it's an oxymoron by itself.
If Allah would have said, have you not read what your Lord did to the companions of the elephant, I would say that's much better, because I can read. But to ask me, have you not seen? No, I haven't seen. Allah, I wasn't born in 570 AD. Apparently, neither were you. Did he not make their schemes go astray? And he sent birds and Ababil flocks. And he sent birds and flocks on them. They cast rocks made of baked clay on them. Oh, that's got to hurt, man. So he made them as devoured straw. I mean, basically, these rocks of clay, man, they just pummeled the people into, like, straw.
Well, there's some, it sounds like they're dropping bricks. I don't think the writer actually knew the word for brick. That's what it sounds like he's trying to say. If you're talking about dropping bricks on people, which is that what baked clay becomes, I don't think the author of this chapter knew the word, the Arabic word for brick.
Right. Now, and my question would be is, what birds go flying around with bricks? I mean, it can't be just any bird. It's got to be a huge bird.
Well, you'd have to have a condor, right, or some kind of an eagle that would do this. And
right.
Why?
No, I prefer dodo.
What?
The dodo.
Oh, but dodos don't fly, do they?
I don't think they do.
Doesn't matter. Anything can happen in this slot.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Allah is the one who can make it all happen. But anyway, folks, the story behind this is that the king from Yemen came to attack Mecca, 500-600 miles away. And I don't know if it's an elephant, because it would make no sense to just bring one elephant. But even if it was just one elephant, an elephant requires hundreds of pounds of vegetation to eat, and about 40 to 60 liters of water. Where was he supposed to
elephant is not going to last in the desert very long.
Not without water. I mean, a camel, yes, they have the humps in the back where it stores the water. Okay, they don't need that much food. But an elephant needs lots of foods. It needs lots of water. Otherwise, it doesn't last that long. So, yeah, just another fabricated story from the Muslims and their Allah.
And with that, and if you ever see I've seen some birds carry things. I've seen eagles pick up, small animals and drop them to kill them. I've seen an eagle pick up a lamb off a cliff or a mountain goat off a cliff and drop it to kill it to eat it later. But I have a hard time seeing them picking up rocks, because that's just me. But I just don't see it happening.
Yeah.
I'm still
perplexed on how Muhammad made them into grass.
Yeah. Well, I mean those.
Sorry, birds, I mean Allah.
Those rocks.
I always get these two confused.
So if we see it, the Quran is supposed to be taken literally, and that's, I like that you said that, because we're told there's no metaphors or anything by the followers of Islam. But if we take this as a metaphor, it makes sense. But they insist it's literal, so they would have to physically become beaten straw, devoured straw. I mean, straw is something, if they said devoured, and that would mean it would be something eaten, chewed up. I think devoured straw would be broken straw. So, I mean, it's describing a broken body is how I read that. But
I mean, which would make sense if these things...
That would be a metaphor.
Right.
But the followers of Islam insist there are no metaphors. It's literal.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, if your kids ever get sleepy and they want a bedtime story, now this probably won't put them to sleep because it's only five verses. Read them the story of the elephant from the Quran.
No, that'd be too scary. Birds dropping bricks.
Yeah, dropping rocks on top of people. No. That's not good. Or you could tell your kid, you better go clean up your room, because if not, Allah's going to have the birds drop bricks on you. Okay, chapter 106, the Quraysh. For the Tami of the Quraysh, a tribe at Mecca, non-Arabic word of Greek origin. Now, Allah, why do you have a Greek word in your Quran?
Describing a people from Mecca.
Right. And their taming journey is in winter and summer. I guess they don't have journeys in the spring and fall. Hey. So let them serve the Lord of this house. Ooh, we don't know what house that is, okay? Who has fed them against hunger and secured them against fear. Oh, my God, this is a beautiful chapter.
We don't know what the taming is.
No idea.
I mean, what are they taming? I mean, a taming journey.
I guess these people were unruly.
Taming, the Quraysh people are getting tamed. That's in the first verse. What kind of a journey is taming them? We don't have a clue. Just the fact that it's winter and summer. Lord of the house. We don't know who the Lord is. We don't know what house it is.
It will tell you it's the Kaaba.
This is crazy.
Yeah, well, that's...
It's not even a complete thought. Let's see. No. Their taming journey is in winter and summer, so let them serve the Lord of his house who has fed them against... Okay, I can give it a complete thought, but it's incoherent at the same time because it doesn't define anything. Nothing is explained.
That's Allah for you. Allah doesn't explain anything.
With no details. It has to be a little God because there's no details to help people to understand what he's trying to communicate.
You have to go to the tafsirs.
Oh, it's because Allah can't communicate.
Exactly. Okay, so that was the end of the Quraysh. Now we're in 107, which is big one here. And 107 is the help. Okay. Are we ready? Let's go. Have you seen those who deny the judgment? No, I don't know who you're talking about, Allah. I mean, every time I look in the mirror, I see myself, and I don't deny the day of judgment. I just deny your stupidity. So this is the one who thrusts away the orphan.
Well, wait. Is judgment now a person? All right. So have you seen those who deny judgment? So this is. So we go from talking about a plural, those,
to a singular.
To a singular. So this is the one we have. So this is incoherence, or this is another example of Arabic as a second language.
So
if we said, so these are the ones who thrust away the orphan.
So he starts off with singular. I'm sorry. He starts off with plural. He goes to a singular. Then he jumps back into plural.
Which is typical of second language learners.
Right. And they will not urge on the feeding of the needy. Okay. So woe to those who pray. But wait a minute. I thought it was good to pray. So woe to those who pray, those who neglect their prayer. Okay. Either you're praying or you're not praying.
So if you pray, you got bad things coming to you. If you don't pray, you got bad things coming to you. Wait a minute. So Allah doesn't give a crap if you pray.
Well, basically, he's saying, listen, man, if you pray, woe to you. If you don't pray, woe to you. Basically, woe to both of them.
So this would be a fun chapter to get Muslims to actually comment on, really. So why do you have to bang your head on the ground five times a day? Let's read chapter 107. So woe to those who pray. Really? You think you have to bang your head on the... Wait a minute. What does verse 4 say? Woe to those who pray.
All right. And those who neglect their prayer. Those who like to be seen. Oh, wait a minute.
So what's happened? Okay. If you're going to bang your head on the ground and you like to be seen praying.
What do Muslims do, Paul? Have you ever seen Muslims walk the streets and pray in the streets?
I was exactly thinking about that.
Okay.
they love to demonstrate.
That's another thing I'm looking towards. I'm working towards it. I want to find in Sharia someplace that says they I want someplace to find someplace in Sharia where it talks about praying in outside a mosque. Because I haven't seen that yet. I'm going to go back and read a few more pieces, but I haven't seen any place where they talk about praying outside. They usually talk about praying when you go into a mosque. I haven't seen anything about praying outside.
Right. But apparently this must be coming off of Matthew chapter 6, what Jesus basically calls Muslims heathens for the way that they pray.
Yes.
You know, the
if you decide to go outside and you know, collect and stand so everybody can see you.
Right.
Oh boy, you know, Jesus
that and repetitive prayers.
Yeah.
Which Muslims do 5 times a day.
Also 17 times a day they bang their heads saying that first surah, which is an expression of hatred against Jews and Christians.
All right, let's go back to 4. So woe to those who pray, those who neglect their prayers, those who like to be seen, and those who forbid help.
I got to save this one for later. Hold on.
Basically, you're screwed no matter what you do.
I mean, so God, this God doesn't care what you do. He's just going to get you. This is a God that loves torture.
I mean, it depends on the day and how Allah feels.
If I may, you know, just when I read the 110 hadith, you know, that is the most important one. The day of judgment, when you come up to day of judgment, right? And the way Allah judges you, this is exactly the problem. You have no idea. Whatever you do, even if, let's say, you know, you commit jihad, you don't know if Allah is going to judge you because you did it for Allah's favor, or if you did that because you wanted to assure your own status into heaven. And if you did that because you wanted to go to heaven for a selfish reason, he will condemn you to hell.
Right.
So like, it's damn if you do, damn if you don't. And you can never be sure. Just like Muhammad could never be sure that he would go into heaven or hell.
Yep. Well, Muhammad says in the Quran, he doesn't know where he's going to go. And I believe it's in the hadith. Okay, so now we are in chapter 108, the chapter of abundance.
Oh, wait. Chapter of abundance, how many verses?
3.
What's abundant here?
I don't know, but let's find out. Surely we have given you the abundance.
Of what?
I don't know. So pray to your Lord and sacrifice.
Okay. So if Allah, you have abundance, you have to sacrifice?
Yes, Allah needs sacrifice. And then 3, yeah, this can't be true. Surely whoever hates you will be childless. Now, first of all, I don't hate Muslims. I detest Islam, the Quran, and Muhammad. And I assure you, I'm not childless. I got a kid.
I don't know anybody. Say, there's no Christians that are true believers that hate others. All right? That's what it comes down to. For all those claims of Islamophobia, we don't even fear Islam. Because there's nothing to fear. There's nothing there. Take a look at this chapter. That's evidence of it.
Let me correct you there, Paul. I do fear Islam and the Quran because by reading this book, it has the propensity to make you stupid.
Okay. It does kill our brain cells. I'm not denying that. I think, you know, the sad truth is
that's the true terrorism.
Yes. Yeah,
it does create and Allah does call himself the creator of terrorism. All right, that's in the Quran. It says he strikes terror into the hearts of the infidels.
Yeah, Leah backstage, I think.
We got to have Leah. Welcome, Leah, to the finale of the Dissecting the Quran show. Glad you can make it.
You know what's funny is most finales, they wrap up to get things to a conclusion. Here, we don't know where we started, where we got to, what's going to happen.
According to the chapter of the abundance.
The worst series.
Yeah, but according to chapter 108, that means we only got 6 more to go. Surely Allah gives us the abundance. So pray to your Lord and sacrifice. Sacrifice what? Surely whoever hates you will be childless. Huh.
It doesn't make. I mean,
no, that's
you know. Here's the only place I'd say there'd probably be hate. If you you were living in Egypt during the time that the followers of Islam, or sorry, they weren't called followers of Islam back then. What were they called? See, they weren't called followers of Muhammad even then.
Well, you had the
Saracens,
the Hagarites, the Ishmaelites, the true believers. Nobody in the 8th century knew what a Muslim was. So this is another way how you can tell that Islam is farce, because in the Doctrino Jacobi, he calls them Saracens.
Yeah.
And he's talking about a prophet that came to conquer this area. Now, this is said to have been written in 634. Well, there couldn't have been a prophet conquering a location in 634 because Muhammad was dead.
Well,
so how can a dead person?
All I'm saying is, if you were attacked, and you were attacked by the followers of Islam, and your family was killed, I mean, I can kind of get the concept of hate. The problem is, which is the truth is that the followers of Christ, we're not allowed to hate. We can hate what you did.
Right.
But we're not allowed to hate you.
Our motto is hate the sin, not the sinner.
Yeah.
Okay. So that concludes this beautiful surah, that chapter of the abundance.
Oh, let's see if it gets anybody. Oh,
it's a chapter about us, the infidels.
Okay. Hey,
this is the one Muslims love to use.
And this has six verses. Okay. Notice that verse 5 is a false prophecy by Allah. These infidels became Muslims and served Allah. Not as Allah declared that they will not serve him. All right, so let's see what Usama is saying. Say, now we know that this is Allah telling, I guess, Muhammad to say this. Oh, you infidels. Okay, now there's a problem here. I do not serve what you serve, and I do not serve... Oh, I'm sorry. And you do not serve what I serve. And I will not serve what you have served. And you will not serve what I serve. To you, your religion, and to me is my religion. Okay, first of all, why would you use the word what for God? God is not a what. I will not serve whom you have served.
We could credit that to it. To a second language learner, but...
Or, this says that Allah is an inanimate object.
Is Muhammad here claiming, I mean, if Muhammad is the author, is Muhammad here claiming that Allah is a sock puppet?
Could be. Now, this would make sense if Allah was a, let's say, a stone idol. Because then the what would be okay.
That's why I said sock puppet. Okay.
But
he was. He was who God, right?
What? Doesn't make any sense.
A lot. Yeah. Would be a stone.
Yeah. Could be a lot. Alusa, Manat. Those are the daughters.
Yeah.
Because Allah apparently could not have any sons. So that, ladies and gentlemen, this is also false.
To your religion and to me, my religion is actually abrogated. Just so people understand that.
Yeah.
Surah 9, 5 abrogates this verse, and this is said long before Surah 9:5.
Not only that, Surah 9:29, and the very first command that was given to Muhammad was to fight everyone until they say that Allah is, there is no God but Allah. So if you're telling me that Muhammad was told to fight until people say that there is no God but Allah, well, what happened to your religion? To you, your religion, and to me, my religion. No, you're being told to fight me until I say there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet, and I say the prayers and pay the zakat. Okay, and there's also a hadith that says the best are the Muslims who bring the people with chains around their necks until they accept Islam. I'm sorry, that sounds like compulsion to me.
Hey, can you, Kufar? Can you highlight Marion's what?
Hold on a second. Marion's, hey, here's the, okay. There you go.
Here's that what we worship verse.
Yeah.
And that just highlights what you said. I think that's important. I mean, if Allah's a what, not a who. What are we talking about? Yes, Andrew Martin. His pride knew that Allah was an idol.
Actually, I had done a verse like this, and I think I had given it to what do I, and I, if I recall, I think it went like this. I do not eat what you eat. You do not eat what I eat. I do not drink what you drink. You do not drink drink.
Dr. Kufar, somebody here claims that you fear the Dawa team.
You know.
Yes, no, Aladdin, I will do a one-on-one with any Muslim, not on a panel.
But Aladdin, you're not cognitively able to debate, so I don't think you're anybody who's really got capable of saying something.
You know what's funny about that line? You know, to be whatever own, you know, what you, whatever that line. I don't know. Say that again, but sounds like that one Dr. Seuss say my green egg.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I was thinking of when I heard that the first time.
Green eggs and ham, that's all of
it. Yes.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen.
You do not serve what I serve. Really? Yes. Well, who's the okay? It's not a who, it's a what.
Yeah. Okay, so that concludes the chapter of the infidels. Folks, do not forget to you your religion, to me is my religion.
Hey, we've just reading the Quran. The Quran says, Aladdin. That's too much for you. We just want to let you know again, this is what the Quran says. It's not what we're making up.
I mean, if reading the Quran is too much for him, I completely understand him.
That's why I say he's not cognitively ready to debate. He can't. It'll take him till tomorrow to process that.
No, Aladdin, please do not lie on my channel. I do not keep you in the backstage. Here's your problem. This is a show. It has a topic. It has a format. You like to come on people's streams and interrupt. Okay, this is not a discussion. This is not a debate. We are reading the Quran and we are dissecting it. We're slicing and dicing like the Japanese sushi chef over at the restaurant. He's slicing and dicing the shrimp on the grill.
See, Aladdin's still not capable of understanding what we said to him. He's got to repeat what he said. So, yeah, that's the sad, sorry statement.
No, Aladdin, here's my proposition. Yeah, Jimmy Dean, Aladdin. Here's my proposition. You bring me any Muslim, EF Dawa, Issa Dawa, pornography Dawa, I don't care. Bring me anybody one-on-one and we will discuss the errors and mistakes in the Quran. Can you prove to me that the Quran is from Allah and that it's perfect and that it has no errors?
Can you prove to us it wasn't written by someone who knew Arabic as a second language?
And we can do it in a platform called Modern Debate. So you can't say it's a Christian channel or a Muslim channel. It will be a neutral platform. Hell, we can do it on Aaron Rodgers.
I don't recommend debating Aladdin because he just cognitively can't do it.
No. Aladdin is useless. Aladdin couldn't debate his way out of a wet paper bag. Mm. Okay. All right, so let's go to chapter 110, the beautiful chapter of the triumph. I could see Allah looking like Rocky with his gloves going up the stairs and raising his fists up and saying, I am the winner. All right, let's go to verse 1. When the triumph of Allah and the conquest comes and you see the people entering the religion of Allah by throngs, so praise your Lord's praise. Now, Allah has a praise, which is kind of problematic, and seek his forgiveness. Surely he was ever relenting. Anybody get anything of use here? Because I did.
When the triumph of Allah and the conquest comes, you see the people entering the religion of Allah. Okay, so what Allah is saying here is if you beat the crap out of people, you force them to convert. So praise with your Lord's. Okay, and now you're praising Allah because you beat the crap out of people and you have forced them to convert. That's what this verse is all about. Forcing people to convert. This is where the throngs of people are. You are forced to convert or die. That's how they get the large amount of people to convert. This is the throngs of people. Forced conversion or death. That's what this chapter is all about. This is why we used to talk, we used to teach this in the United States. When I was a child in the 80s, growing, going through high school, we talked about
Islam being the way Islam spread was through the sword. They don't teach that in high school anymore. They skip this chapter.
Okay, let me expose Al-Din. I'm actually going to put this up on the screen. It says, Kufar, we have a long history. So Al-Din, please tell me, how long is our history together on Pal Talk? It says, we have a history on Pal Talk. Expose you big time so you hide behind your channel. First of all, how did you expose me when we really only had one conversation where you tried to debate me on Muhammad and the Bible, and then I spanked you because you didn't know that the Quran in chapter 7, verse 157, says that Muhammad is only in the Torah and the Injil. Then you tried to pull that, oh no, it's talking about the Tanakh. Okay, so we really don't have much interaction, or we didn't have much interaction on Pal Talk, because you wouldn't come into my room and debate. You also lied on Bob the Builder's channel, which I believe was over a year ago, and you told this Muslim that, please don't talk to Kufar. I've been schooling him for 6 years on Pal Talk, when I hadn't been on Pal Talk more than 2 years.
So I just don't think he's worth our time is what my thoughts are, because he's not cognitively ready to debate. He just wants to draw attention to himself.
Yeah, he wants just me to bring five past it.
He's like a troll.
Seriously, five passers, like, why?
He's not because he doesn't think people normally can get five passers. That's
he's
his only
not
reason.
Going to debate
but why debate a man who can't cognitively, I truly mean this, he can't, it took us over a half hour, maybe close to an hour, to explain what a debate was. So he's not worth our time is what it comes down to it.
Yeah, so basically we see that chapter 110 is just like all the other chapters. It's about as useful as Al-Din is. Yeah, he probably has all of his blocked. Yeah. Al-Din is just the Filipino dancer. I think we're done with 110.
He dances around things, but he can't talk about things. So we're going off of 110. We're on to 111.
Hey, now chapter 111, I could get behind. It's the chapter of the fiber.
This is my favorite verse in the Quran, chapter of the Quran.
Hey, listen, this is the prophecy that Allah is telling you that you need to add fiber to your diet so you can be consistent with your craps. All right, so let's see what the fiber means. Muhammad's uncle, Abu Lahab, refused to believe in Islam. As a result, the Quran states that he will be burnt in hell and that his uncle's wife will stoke the fires of hell. All right, so let's see. Perish the hands of Abu Lahab, and he will perish. His money and what he has earned did not benefit him. He will roast in the flaming fire, and his woman, aka wife, will be a carrier of firewood. She will have a rope of fiber around her neck. Woohoo!
So wait a minute. So she's a slave. All right, so she's a slave. So his woman is a slave, and she's putting fire. So she has a job in hell of putting fire on things.
Yeah, for her husband. Now here's the question, Paul. You're reading this, right?
Yeah.
And you see some guy named Abu Lahab, that he's going to perish. He's going to go to hell. He's going to be roasting. His wife is going to be the fire. What would be your question? To me, my question would be, who is this guy? What did he do that he's in hell?
Is exactly why this is my favorite chapter. So this chapter just shows you why the Quran cannot be understood without the hadith or by interjections from the tafsirs.
Well, again, if
you have to have outside, you have to have outside sources.
That's why the Quran has no value in many ways.
Yeah, yeah, but this chapter demonstrated so perfectly.
Thank you.
Sam, if you read the different tafsirs, you're going to get different variations of the same story. So again, my thing has always been, I'm only dealing with the Quran. Think of me as a Quran-only kind of guy. If I'm reading this crap, I'm going to start asking questions. Who is this guy? What did he do that he pissed off Allah so bad that he's going to be roasting in a flaming fire, and his poor wife is going to carry, or she's going to be a carrier of firewood. So I don't know if that means she's going to be the firewood or if she's going to be carrying the firewood.
And I do find it interesting that they call this chapter the fiber,
And what we're talking about is a collar of slavery, a rope of slave. I mean, a rope of, it's a rope. I mean, this is a slavery collar.
So she's going to be a slave in hell who's going to be fueling the fire for her husband, who we don't know what. Now, according to the sources, I do believe maybe he ridiculed Muhammad. He didn't believe in Islam and so forth. But knowing...
The story is that Muhammad went up on a hill. He said he was the prophet, and Abu Lahab told him to shut up.
Well, maybe Abu... Again, we can't tell that Muhammad actually... There's no place in the scripture of Islam. Okay, there's no place, I should say, in the Quran that calls Muhammad a prophet. We haven't seen that. And there's only four places. I think we've read them all by now.
Yeah, he's just alluded to as the seal of the prophets. Doesn't say he is a prophet.
And
a
seal is the messenger. All right. Yes. Sorry. The messengers confirm the words of a prophet.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Nowhere in the Quran does it say Muhammad is the last messenger. And this is what the Ahmadis picked up on and said, and the guy who invented the Ahmadiyya, he said, hey, I'm a messenger of Allah. Show me in the Quran where it says that they can't be another messenger after Muhammad, because it doesn't say Muhammad is the seal of the messengers. It says he is the messenger of Allah and the seal of the prophets,
which makes him a messenger.
The last one. This means the seal.
Yeah.
Okay. And we know what a seal was back then. A seal was, you were a king or you were somebody in authority. You had a ring, you know, you did your scroll, you would drop some wax on there, you would bang your ring into it, and it would have your symbol, so that when the person looked at it, he knew it was official business. He was in trouble because he was reading something official. And on that note, let's go to chapter 112.
Oh, hold on a second. I think I have to get my mouse over there.
And chapter 12 is such a nice chapter.
There we go.
Oh, you got that. You got
all
that.
All right, 112.
Okay, 112. The chapter
so thin.
God has no son, Jesus, or any other. Say, he is Allah, the one of.
The one of what?
I don't know.
Wait a minute. If he's one of.
Well, that's what the word means. The ahad means one of.
In Arabic, right?
Yeah, wahad.
So here's a problem. If he's one of many, that's what the implication is.
Yeah, it's the same thing with Tawheed. Tawheed does not mean one. It's a unification. It's a consolidation, which is what Muhammad did. He consolidated all 360 pagans into one. The big guy, the big cheese, the guy who gets the 10%. No, I'm sorry, that's Biden. That's the big guy.
He wants 20%. Allah wants 20%. Allah wants 20%.
So then, but then it gets even funnier. He does not birth, neither was he birthed, and there is no one equal to him. Okay, wait a minute. Okay, in order for you to give birth, you have to be a female.
So Allah is bisexual. No, I'm sorry, not bisexual. Allah is two genders? Allah is two genders?
Could be.
So what's androgynous? Allah's androgynous. If we accept that he could, we'd have a problem. Yeah,
I mean, this would be true because if Allah indeed is an idol,
if Allah's a male, he can't birth. I give him that, and he can't be birthed. Okay, I get that. If they're trying to say there's nothing here. I mean, I like Usama's statement, but the problem here is it doesn't tell us he's talking about Jesus. He says he's Allah one of, and that implies there's many gods. Allah is one of many gods. Allah is absolute of what? What are we talking about? Absolute what? He does not birth, okay? Neither was he birthed. So this is only talking about this imaginary god called Allah. I say imaginary because in the first verse, it says he's one of. There's no equal to him. Really?
in the first verse, it says he's one of. How do we know that? How many gods are we talking about?
Yeah, I don't know. But that, ladies and gentlemen, concludes the chapter of sincerity. We got two more chapters to go. Oh, my goodness. We might finish this in just under 1 hour and 15 minutes. That means I can start my next show right off.
All right.
Okay, so chapter 113 is the daybreak. Okay. All days must come to a break. Allah creates evil. Okay. Wow. I'm shocked. Say, I seek refuge in the Lord of the daybreak from the evil which he created. Uh-oh. So here Muhammad is throwing Allah is throwing himself under the bus because Allah is saying that he creates evil.
Wait, so no, who is saying?
Somebody is Allah is telling Muhammad to say these words. I seek refuge in the Lord of the daybreak from the evil which he created and from the evil of the darkness when it comes.
So
Allah creates evil.
Muhammad is saying this. We have a problem because his God isn't strong enough.
Well, no, it's saying what this is saying is that Allah is telling Muhammad to tell the people that he creates the evil, or he created the evil. So it wasn't Satan who created the evil. It was Allah. And the poor Satan is getting blamed for Allah creating the evil.
I guess I see this kind of differently. If Allah's telling him to say this, I seek refuge in the Lord of the daybreak from the evil. Okay. Who is the Lord of the daybreak?
That would be Allah.
Okay. From the evil, if Allah creates evil, from the evil of the darkness which it comes. So Muhammad is, if this is Muhammad speaking, the prophet is claiming Muhammad creates, that Allah creates evil, and from the evil of the darkness when it comes, and from the, you might as well finish this.
So yeah. Well, I want to say one thing here. According to tradition here, it's supposed to be when Muhammad was ill, before he died, and reciting these, in illness over these verses over and over again. And he was supposed to be bewitched when he said this.
Okay, so maybe... wait. Okay, are we... are you saying that a prophet... Islam is claiming that their perfect man was bewitched, and it says that in the Quran?
Yeah, pretty much.
My question is, why would they add this one into the Quran as, something of Allah, when, this is, Muhammad just reciting gibberish?
Well,
based on their own traditions.
The answer to that is that the creator of the Quran thought this was all, was probably given an assignment to do this kind of crap. And every once in a while, he slips in things that reveals what a joke Allah is. And that's the only explanation I have for this, unfortunately.
Well, I think the writers of the Quran, they put in some stuff to let us know that the Quran is full of crap. It's almost like the real God said, you know what? I'm going to make these people put in stuff to expose their own book.
Wow.
But then it says in verse 4, and from the evil when they, witches, blow on the knots, and from the evil of the envier, when he envies.
And from the evil.
I have a better explanation, though. I think.
Okay.
In the past, Muslims were not embarrassed by this, and they didn't have the claim that, the Quran was 100% infallible as they have today. And, it was complementary with the Hadith, and, it was not supposed to be read as a miracle sign. I know it says it in the Quran, or something close to it, here are the signs, blah, blah, blah. But they were like, it kind of shows what Muhammad said, no matter what he said, because everybody was supposed to follow him. So whatever he said, no matter if it was from Allah or not, or if it's infallible or not, or contradictory or not, they would put it down and say, you know, these are the words that we have from Muhammad. And, you know, even if it was not clear if it was from Allah or not, like in this one, you know, where it's like, wait a minute, was he ill? Was he bewitched? Well, it doesn't matter. As long as it was from Muhammad's mouth, you know, they would put it down.
If Muhammad is told to say this by Allah, this is an admission that Allah is the equivalent of the Christian, Judeo-Christian concept of Satan. That's what this is, a statement of equivalence to the Judeo-Christian concept of Satan.
Well, we also have the problem. The Almighty Allah couldn't protect Muhammad from having black magic done to him.
Well, I mean, again, that would, again, if he's Satan, yeah. Yeah. That works.
Yeah. Okay, so that basically blows the knots off of this chapter. And ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the end of the show, the chapter of the people. Professor, yes, the tafsirs are online. Depends which ones. If you want to read Ibn Kathir, Jalalain, Ibn Abbas, Maldudi, you can go to QuranX.com and you can read the tafsirs. Okay, let's finish this bad boy. I'm not even going to go to my screen because I can read it from here. Okay, the chapter of the people. Kind of starts off like the other one. Say, I seek refuge with the Lord of the people, the King of the people, the God of the people, from the evil of the slinking whisperer. But wait a minute. In the previous chapter, he just told us that the evil was created by Allah. Right?
So he's now hiding from Allah.
Now he's trying to tell us that the evil is coming from the slinking whisperer, which we don't know who that is.
Well, that would make, okay, but he just said the evil is created by Allah, so that makes number four, verse four here, from the evil, the slinking whisperer has to be Allah.
Exactly. Or Allah is Satan, which we know.
Makes sense now. Yeah. Read five. That's why we know it makes sense.
Right. And who whispers in the chests of the people from the jinn in the people.
So he keeps talking about chests all the way through. Allah does.
Yep.
So this actually perfectly makes Allah the creator of evil. Oh, wow. That actually explains a lot of concepts.
Let me put what Andrew has. Andrew says here, the slinking whisperer is the demon Jibreel. Oh, wait a minute. I thought Jibreel was an angel on Muhammad's left shoulder, who follows him around behind him. Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, as I said, all good things must come to an end, and Dissecting the Quran show has dissected the Quran. Took us about 10 months to do it, but we did it. We will be doing other stuff in the channel. Paul and I have some other ideas, maybe reading the hadiths, maybe reading the Sharia. I'll try to see if I can get some debates with the Muslims. But this is it. We have lost all the brain cells that we're going to lose.
For this part.
Yes.
And now we can replenish.
Sam, thank you.
Darcy, for those of you looking to find the list up there, you can go to the YouTube and go to the there's an actual series set up, or you can go to paulsutliff.blogspot.com. I'm slowly getting them all in order to put into the, and you can find the Dissecting the Quran series there.
Yeah, I also have this on Rumble, but Rumble's taken forever to port them in there. So yeah, I do have them. If you go to the Dissecting the Quran, if you go to this channel, click on the playlist, you'll see a playlist called Dissecting the Quran, and you'll see all the, I'm going to put this one in there because this one's not in there. StreamYard doesn't allow you to pick a list. So I'm going to put that in there as soon as we're done. So this will be the end of the
But Quran. Hold on. This is such an anticlimactic ending, know, just like man. The Quran. You need to spice it up. Like, give us, like, a good...
So final thoughts?
No. Just like a good music, you know. Some good music, you know, something like that. Like, to well, show that we're finally finished.
I can replay the intro that I had, which is really an intro and an exit.
So... Yeah, again, Kufar, what are your conclusions on reading this? Have we learned anything?
Well, I have learned that I will never become a Muslim because of this book. That's guaranteed.
So do you think, Kufar, do you think that if any Muslim actually reads this in their own language, would they stay? I mean, if they're reading it and using their brain, I'm not talking about if they throw out their brain, but if they read it and use their brain, will they stay a follower of Islam?
No.
So,
Professor has a good one. Now, there is a Quran. I don't know if it's by Ibn Masud or the other one that has 116 surahs. There's also a Quran from one of the other companions, one of the four companions of Muhammad, that only had, I think, 111 or 112 chapters. So, I could be reading the wrong Quran, but it is the only one that we have today. Who's ready to take the Shahada? I don't think so. So
well,
yeah,
well, I will. I am. I am ready. So I will. I will say that I am a witness that there is no God, and definitely there is no Allah, and Muhammad is not the Prophet.
Right.
Now, so you know what that is the def. Okay, so we are witness that Allah is not a god because he claims to be Satan in these last two chapters.
Well, the whole Shahada,
that is true. I bear the witness whole, there is, Allah is Satan.
Well, the whole Shahada starts off with a false premise because
yes,
in order for you to bear witness, that means you have to have foreknowledge. You have to have knowledge of what you're witness.
You have to have personal knowledge,
right?
Yeah, and so, you can't do that because you can't have seen. In order to bear witness, you actually have to see with your eyes. You have to taste with your tongue. I mean, all these things that are required to be witness, you can't actually do. And that is false testimony, which, again, according to the Sharia.
That would be like me going to the courts, right? And I say, you know, Your Honor, I witnessed the bank being robbed. But then later on, they find out I was nowhere near the bank. And the next thing the attorney is going to ask me, how did you witness something that you didn't have any, that you had no knowledge of? You weren't even near the bank when it was being robbed. And this is what Muslims do when they take the Shahada. It says, I bear witness that there is no God but God. And that Muhammad is a prophet. You can't bear witness. You can't be a witness to something that you don't have any firsthand knowledge. Now, you could say, I believe, or I have faith, but you can never say that you bear witness to something that you don't have any knowledge. Okay, now, ladies and gentlemen, before we end this, I know it's early. We haven't done a hour and so much show for a while. I am going live right after this, probably as soon as I get off here. I'm going to go live. I'm going to do a review of my attempt to have a discussion, debate, dialogue with Nadir Ahmed on chapter 96, verse 2. And you guys tell me if he answered my question on us being created from a blood clot. I do have one of the sources that he pointed out. And I've got my own books on biology that I'm going to be sharing with. So on that note, I'm going to go ahead and play the video that I did. Once more, where did I put it? Videos. Oh, here we go. Okay, ladies, this is going to be good. fireworks. Come on.
Kablooey.
Yeah, Marion, you are correct. He likes to speak about the benefits of not drinking and something about meat. But anyway, guys, don't go anywhere. I'm going to go live. I just got to turn this one off and load up the other one. So thank you very much. It has been a wonderful 10 months. Okay. I appreciate all the people that have supported us for the last 10 months. I know some of you probably should be asleep. So thank you. You've put up with reading this joke of a book. So this ends. I will be writing a book version of this. Okay. Paul's going to help me. So we're going to be doing that. And like I said, Paul and I'm going to be doing a news channel. I do have another channel. I think it's called Babyface Daily Rants, where I'm going to be talking about all topics, politics, economics, the Chinese jab and all that good stuff. So hopefully when that's set up, we will be doing live and recorded. And I also have my study music and my moodscape sounds, which I hope you guys will, you know, that will help you recreate your brain cells. I promise you. So we're doing that. But on this one, I want to say good night. God bless. And I'll see you guys in about 2 minutes. All right. Later.
Okay. God bless.
Yes. What happened, Darcy? You broke up, Darcy.
Great show.
Yes. All good things must come to an end. Yes, as apostate prophet would say, stay away from Islam. Okay, let's end the broadcast and on to the next.